Invite him to the Grumbleweeds Christmas party.
We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. And a Happy New Year. We wish you a Merry Christmas. And a Happy New Year. A 7-12-11-6. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. And a Happy New Year.
You're wasting your time knocking there, Paul.
What?
It's a Fleming Telegraph, Paul.
I tell him better. Did you hear the one?
I did.
I'll tell you another.
Okay.
Did you hear about the Irish funfair? They had only one dodging car.
And we've just heard that Sir Richard Attenborough is to make another film about India. It's about a fellow who spends 5 years riding up and down the Himalayas bareback on an elephant. To be called Bandy.
Nice message from the highest hills.
Hello, Campbell.
And welcome to Anfield Park, where there's a great Boxing Day atmosphere. It's 5 minutes into the game, and Samuel Lee passes to Souness, Souness to Dalgleish, Dalgleish to Ian Rush, Rush to Kennedy. Kennedy takes his time and finally passes it back to Samuel Lee. And yes, yes, the music stops, and Samuel Lee is the winner of Pass the Parcel at this year's Christmas party.
Hello! Hello! How are you, son?
I'm okay, Dad.
Have you had a nice Christmas, then?
Yes, thanks, Dad.
Nice dinner.
It was smashing.
Did you enjoy the pudding?
Yeah, Dad. It was super. Did you?
Yes. Very tasty. Shall I tell you something, son?
Yes, Dad. Tell me.
Don't you think it's time we got a smaller dining table?
And for your Christmas viewing, BBC TV bring you a special edition of Question Time, when Robin Day will discuss important questions like, did Humpty Dumpty fall, or was he pushed? If Mary had a little lamb, who made the mint sauce? And did Wee Willy Winky have an inferiority complex?
Baker, where I were, Dad. He was great at decorating Christmas trees and all. I remember when I was a lad one Christmas Eve, he brought fairy lights down from attic and draped them round and round Christmas tree. Then he plugged them in and hey presto, there was a big bang and fairy on top of the tree did a double somersault and landed. Landed with a magic wand stuck up me dad's nose. But he weren't angry, cause he knew us kids would be disappointed if tree weren't lit up, and he didn't let us down. He set fire to that damn thing.
We are the Bumbleweeds.
thank you, thank you, thank you. Everybody out there, thank you for that really rousing welcome. Yes, indeed. Once again, Christmas has come round once again. Yes, the festive season is once again upon us once again.
Get on with it, you old crab.
I am doing. Once again, Christmas is here once again, and it falls to me, on behalf of us all here, to wish all our listeners... Yes. Christmas from all of us here. Now, I don't want to outstay my welcome, but it's at moments like this that familiar lump comes to my throat.
In a few minutes, pal, there'll be a lump comes to the back of your head.
Thank you. Yes, a familiar lump of emotion, as I think all the happy families who are at this moment sitting round their turkeys, saying to one another, "Well, Harry, are you going to kill it or aren't you?"
I like this lad, I like him. He's got compassion. He's sympathetic to other people's feelings. He cares. You could trust this man, trust him with anything. In fact, he'd make an absolutely ideal football manager.
Do you know, I think you've captured my personality in a nutshell. Because I've always felt, as the words of the song say, if I can help somebody as I pass along, then my living shall not be in vain.
And I've always felt, as the words of the song say, if I can rip somebody's windpipe out as I pass along, I'll be chuffed as hell if it's yours.
Thank you. You're very kind.
Now, just a minute, old guys and gals. Dearie Lord, this is all getting a bit like double dodgy and upsetting and very, very unstonking as it happens. Like Uncle Nasty, it is the season of goodwill. How about making a pact?
I've made my pact. I'm going to nut him.
Dearie Lord, very, very upsetting as it happens, especially at this time when we all ought to be full of old peace and goodwill job to all men, you say.
That's just what I've been trying to say. I want to love Uncle Nasty. I want to love him. I want to forgive him all his sins.
What a fabulous sentiment. Like, absolutely unbelievable. Wow. And what do you have to say in reply, Uncle Nasty?
I still want to nut him.
How's about dazzling us? Let's ask Wilfred, the one and only Wilf is here, as it happens, so let's ask him. Wilf, old son, what do you think is the answer to the problem of this aggro job between like Uncle Rubbish and Uncle Nasty?
Oh, yeah, Wilf. Well, yeah, you see, Jim, I've always felt that. And I think there's nothing more one can say because you've said it all. I agree with it. And I think everybody I know would agree with it too, as well, also. Maybe there are one or two little things, one in particular, which could do with clarifying.
And what is that, Wilf?
What was the question?
Goodness gracious, you want a bit of ratification?
No, but I'll have a bit more Christmas pudding if there is any.
I don't think that we're getting very far there, Wilf Olsen. I think we'll change the subject. Now then, tell us, Wilf, tell us what you got for Christmas.
Oh, yeah, I did, Jim. I got three of them.
Just a minute, Wilf. Like, you got three of what?
Well, you should know, Jim. You're asking the question.
God bless my soul.
God bless your soul.
Let's ask Fred Fibber what he got for Christmas.
Oh, didn't get much to see me. Didn't get much at all, Harry. And he'd bought me 7 Concords. Kids saved up the spending money and got me crown jewels. And lads at pub club together and bought me post office tower.
Post office tower, no less.
Oh, well, I'm going to use it to force me rhubarb up.
You get right up my nose, you do, pal.
And you better watch it, old lad and all, because you're talking to a fella who knocked out Frank Bruno in first round.
And that was when he had flu and two broken arms.
He's good, this lad. I like him. He's modest. He knows he's good, but he plays it down. He reminds me of me.
Would you like to know what I got for Christmas?
Two black eyes, if I had my way.
Hold it, Uncle Lester. Hold it. Tell us, Uncle Rubbish, what did you get for Christmas?
Nothing.
Ah. Do you know, I think that's really sad. That's really sad, that. Nothing he got for Christmas. I think that's really sad. Don't you think that's really sad? Because I do, I think that's really sad.
You don't shut up. That gas mask will be halfway down your rotten throat.
Yeah, thank you. You're nice.
I didn't even get a present from my good lady wife.
And why's that, Uncle Rubbish?
She left me 47 years ago.
That's it happens, lad. A bit double upsetting to her, or something, as it happens.
Yes. I shall never forget the last words I heard her say.
And what were they, old son?
Has anybody seen me tea?
What is old son?
Horsing rhubarb up the post office tower.
Excuse me, pal.
Certainly, sir.
Is this the Citizens Advice Centre?
It is indeed, yeah.
And do you give advice to citizens at no cost whatsoever?
Yeah, well, that is quite correct, sir, yeah.
Splendid. Because I have this problem.
Well, that's what we're here for, sir. Now, is it a financial or a legal problem?
Not really. You see, I want to know the best way to stuff a goose.
I beg your pardon?
Stuff a goose. Do you advise sage and onion, sausages, or chestnuts?
I'm afraid you've come to the wrong place, young man.
Well, this is supposed to be the advice centre.
Yes, but only on certain matters, you know. You see, we could probably help you if you were being sent to prison.
If I was in prison, I wouldn't have a goose to stuff.
That's true. That's very, very true.
And apart from the goose, do sprouts take 6 or 7 minutes to steam? How do you stop roast spuds from disintegrating? Why does my sauce always go solid? And why do my peas go mushy?
Well, may I suggest you ask someone at the restaurant across the road?
You mean the expensive one straight across, opposite here?
Yes, as a matter of fact, we're going there for the office Christmas dinner.
Well, if I don't get some advice soon, you'll be out of luck, pal, because I'm the chef.
Listen, everybody, don't you think we should stop at this point in the programme and ask the question, what does Christmas mean to us?
Why don't we just stop at any point in the programme and wring your rotten neck?
Well, no, I think Uncle Rubbish is a good idea. I think it's a fabulous idea. Absolutely fantastic. I don't know why I didn't think of that idea. What a fabulous idea. What does Christmas mean to us? That is a fabulous idea. That really is, honest, I mean it. What a fabulous idea.
Tell us, Wilfred, what Christmas means to you?
Nothing.
Oh, come on now, Wilfred. Come. I can't believe that. I can't believe that a man of such high intellect, a man of such great character, a man with so much poise and charm,
Who's he talking to?
I'm talking to you, Wilfred. Think, Wilfred. Think about Christmas. Think, Wilfred.
Yeah, I'm thinking.
Well, think again.
Yeah, honest, I'm thinking.
Are you thinking?
Yeah. Thinking.
Are you thinking?
I'm thinking.
Think of all that surrounds Christmas. Think, Wilfred, think.
Yeah, I'm doing it, I am. Yeah, you're right. Think. Yeah, I can see it. You're right, it does. Yeah, of course it does. I can see it now. Sandcastles. Blue skies. Hot tropical beaches with lots of ice cream and lemonade. And women laid out on the sand. Half-naked women with brown bodies who haven't got any clothes on. And bare flesh. Oh, yeah, I can see it, yeah.
Is that what Christmas means to you?
No, it's just what I'm thinking of.
Dear Lord. God bless my soul. A bit of the old X certificate from Wilfred there. Goodness gracious. A little bit double naughty there, old son.
Yeah, but it's nice, isn't it?
Now then, what about you, Uncle Rubbish? Tell us what Christmas means to you, old son.
When I think of Christmas, Jimbo, I think of little boys and girls carol singing, white crisp snow crunching underfoot, lovely landscapes of whiteness over the open countryside, sleigh bells ringing in the sky, and excited faces and wide open eyes of little kiddies who are having an happy time.
That is double knockout, Uncle Rubbish.
People being nice to each other, even when they're falling out when the pub's closed. People fighting nicely. Hitting one another gently. Everybody loving everybody else.
That is like typical of the man, as it happens. Typical of the man. What about you, Uncle Nasty? What does Christmas mean to you?
Hospitals. Ambulances and stretchers. Splints and bandages over broken bones. Ears swapped over and windpipes ripped out. Vestfuls of broken ribs covered in blood.
Can I be your friend?
Gas masks stuck down the back of throats.
Forget it.
Goodness gracious, Dad. Don't you think you're going like a little bit over the top there, Uncle Nasty, old son?
And you can shut it, pal. Otherwise, you'll be going for a ride in a big black car with glass sides.
Tell him it's the edge of the train, Jim. Go on, tell him.
Well, as it happens, I don't think he's in the mood, Wilfred, old son.
Well, go on, tell him. I'll tell him for you. It's the edge of the train, Uncle Nasty. I've never worn a gas mask this way around before.
Goodness gracious, that actually sounds like somebody at the door, old son, as it happens.
We're not expecting anybody, are we?
It could be an ambulance for you, pal. You know, a bit early, like.
An ambulance. For me, a bit early. He's only joking.
Wilfred, old son.
Yes, James, yes?
Close one of your eyes and, like, and have a look through the little spy hole in the door.
Yeah, okay. All right, James. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Oh. This is interesting.
What is it, Wilf?
I can't see anything.
Well, why is that, Wilfred?
I've closed the wrong eye.
This is not.
Get out of the way, you little prat, and let me have a look. There you go. There's a shifty-eyed little cretin on the doorstep.
I bet it's our special guest there. We always have a guest star at Christmas.
Hey, do you think it might be Olivia Newton-John? Because I like him.
Well, it won't be Stu at all. He said he wouldn't come on again. He said he wasn't happy about the money last year.
That is a bit double unbelievable. How much did we pay him?
No, he paid us.
Oh. Well, like whoever it is, I think we'd better let him in.
I know it'll be. It'll be the window cleaner. He'll want to leave his lad around the back. Open the door and let him in. Now then, have you put your ladder behind the shed?
Fraser Hines.
He's not here, pal. On your bike.
No, no, you don't understand.
Don't tell me what I understand, Shorthouse. One more peep out of you, pal, and your ears will be round your ankles.
Look, are you the Grumbleweeds?
Yes, we are.
Who's your spokesman?
Spokesman? Well, I've got a bike.
Well, what about this one on his hands and knees? What are you looking for?
I'm looking for my teeth.
Look, pal, I don't know who you are, but you're getting right up my nose, pal.
Right, we'll soon put that okay. Fraser Hines.
No, I'm sorry, there isn't anybody of that name in the Grumbleweed.
No. I'm Fraser Hines.
Well, why are you looking for him, then?
Dear Lord, this sounds like a double bit confusion.
Doesn't the name Fraser Hines mean anything to you?
Can you give us a clue?
All right, television.
Television? Oh, yeah, television. Oh, yeah, close wording, I think. Oh, it's through there. I think it could be a vowel.
I haven't come to mend the television.
Oh, I'm glad about that.
Why?
It's not broken.
Now, look, Titch. You're getting further up my nose by the minute, pal.
Just a minute, Uncle Nasty. I've just realised who this young man is. What a thrill. What an honour. How can I apologise for not realising, eh? I've admired you for years, Mr. Hines. I always eat your baked beans.
Dear Lord, I think like you could have the wrong geezer there, Uncle Rubbish, as it happens.
All right, listen. How about this? Joe Sugden.
Joe Sugden. Is there a Joe Sugden in the audience?
No, you've got it wrong again. I used to be Joe Sugden.
I used to be Nellie Nuttall. I did. In the school play, we were all boys, you see, and they always chose me to play the women's parts.
You must have been a revolting little grub.
Yes, I was. Thank you.
This is all like driving Jimmy here a bit double crackers like that. Were you Joe Sugden before you were Fraser Hines?
No. Look, it's quite simple. First of all, I was Fraser Hines. Then I became Joe Sugden. But while I was Joe Sugden, I was still Fraser Hines. Then I stopped being Joe Sugden, but I didn't have to become Fraser Hines, because I'd been Fraser Hines all the time I was Joe Sugden.
I cut my toenails this morning.
Well, how's about, guys and girls, let's ask the one and only Wills.
Oh, it's no good asking me anything, Jim, because I'm sick.
Look, Hines, don't you think you've caused enough trouble, eh? On your bike.
I'll give you one more clue.
He just ignores me.
Emmerdale Farm. What a double knockout clue. Now then, Wilfred, what do you think about when you watch Emmerdale Farm?
Oh, yes, yeah, I do. Yeah, that's right, I do. Yeah, of course I do, yeah.
What, Wilfred, what do you think about?
Yeah, I do.
What, old son?
What he said, yeah. I think about that all the time when I'm watching Emmerdale Farm. I think about it, actually, when I'm watching everything else. Except Blankety Blank.
And why is that, Wilf?
I don't watch that.
And why don't you watch Blankety Blank, old son?
You have to have a reason.
But for the last time, I used to play the part of Joe Sugden on Emmerdale Farm.
Yeah! Of course you did! Yeah, I've seen you! I saw you last night, yeah, I saw you!
No, no, no you didn't. I'm not in it anymore.
Look, pal, if he said he saw you, he flaming well saw you.
I did, I did. I saw him last night in The Rover's Return. Because there's not many left now.
I don't watch much television, me. I've completely lost touch with what's going on in the Grove family. And I haven't seen What's My Line for weeks.
Gentlemen.
Who's he talking to?
Gentlemen, I am a thespian.
Oh, you can tell. Oh, you can tell, yes. Don't worry, though. I'll lend you a razor and a bar of soap.
I'm an actor, and I used to be on Emmerdale Farm.
Fantastic! Light, camera, music!
Hold it. Sorry, can we stop the music? You see, I'm not in it anymore.
Not in what, Mr. Hines?
Emmerdale Farm.
Cue music!
Hang on, hold it, hold it. Hold it a minute, fellas, hold it. This is ridiculous. I've told you, I'm not in it anymore.
What are you after, Hines? Money?
No, I simply want to perform with you.
I don't trust this shifty-eyed little squirt.
But I've admired the Grumbleweeds for years.
I like this lad. I like him. He's good, he's honest and sincere. He could be my natural successor.
Tell us, Mr. Hines, what do you want to perform with us?
Well, I've written a special version of one of the world's most popular and most famous historical legends.
Fantastic! Cue music!
Please. Hang on, this is ridiculous. Look, I have an idea. Let's get it out of our systems. It's the only way. Ladies and gentlemen, we proudly present Emmerdale Farm. Cue music. Cue music. Why aren't you playing the Emmerdale music?
There's no point. You're not in it anymore.
No.
That's what you are.
It's Christmas morning at the home of our forgetful friends, Mr. and Mrs. Amnesia. Over now to see how they are getting on preparing their Christmas lunch.
Now then, dear, isn't it time we stuff the,
cushion?
No, no. No.
The mattress?
No, no, no.
No, no, no.
It's in the fridge.
Oh, the cat.
No. No.
Couldn't be in there.
No,
not the cat. You know, well, you know, last Christmas you had to force it into the oven.
No, your mother.
No, it's a big fat bird with a scrawny neck.
Oh, yes, dear, your mother.
It's covered with feathers.
Oh, the budgie.
Yes, isn't it time we stuff the budgie? No, it's bigger than the budgie.
Bigger than a budgie?
Yes, bigger than the
next door's dog.
No. You stuff it with chest...
chest expander.
No. Nuts, that's it.
Nuts and bolts.
No. Herbs.
Herbs what?
Herbs.
Oh, herbs flat cap.
No.
Herbs underpants.
No. Herbs, you know, in the garden.
Oh, what are herbs underpants doing in the garden?
No, you're useless, Doris.
I'll tell you what then, Arthur.
What?
Let's stuff it and open a tin of sardines.
And now, for his seasonal recipe, here's the Grumbleweed's own German chef, Herr Wacker.
Thank you! And good herring, mein Kippers. This week, I am talking about what to do with the leftovers from the Christmas dinner. So, first of all, take in the big bucket. Fill it with the hot water and put it on the floor. And soak the feet after 3 days in the kitchen. Now for the recipe. For the turkey, mince pies, parson's nose, pudding, hot and potting. Right. Take some eggs. Lots and lots and lots of chucky eggs in. Oh, the eggs in there. Yes. And throw them into the bucket. Not a one, a two, and a plunkety plunkety. In the bucket. Here we go. Yes. Then we whisk them up with the whisker. Oh, whisker. Oh, dear. We forgot to take off the shells. Never mind. It's good for the roughage. Go through you like a Maserati. Next, we throw in the turkey carcassin. Make all the bones and all the stuffing and all the giblets and all the funny nasty stuff from the little plastic bag in the turkey's body. Next, throw in the old Christmas and pudding and bash him down. Meet the kitchen basher. Bash. And another bash for luck. Bash. Now wipe all the mess off the kitchen ceiling. And put in all the other leftovers from the table. Here we go. The mince pies, the Christmas crackers with the table mats and the plastic flowers and the teapot and everything else you find on the floor. Bits of rice, bits of this and bits of that and bits of these. We boil it all up in the bucket for 3 days. And you think I am balmy. Then we wrap it up in the tablecloth, steam it, and throw it in the dustbin and open a tin of beans. Thank you. Good evening.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a special Christmas edition of Horror Half Hour.
Oh, listen to me.
Come with me as we set your blood tingling.
Oh, Rocky Thumb.
Your skin creep with fear.
I want me, Mum.
I bring you the most frightening experience of your life.
But I've already met Nicholas Parson.
evening, holidays everywhere. My name is Esther Ranson. Tonight I am taking you on a journey into your imagination. A journey into the darkest corners of your mind, opening doors that are best left unopened, seeing things that are best left unseen, hearing things that are best left unheard, deep, deep down into the cobwebby recesses of your subconscious mind. Who knows what dark thoughts, what horror lurks there? As we open the final door, what will we find lurking, waiting in the darkness?
Hang on, fellas. I've already told you, haven't I?
Well, no, Fraser. It's just our little joke.
Right, well, now you know who I am and what I do, wouldn't you like to know what I'd like to do?
Go on, then. Fire away, Frazy Poos.
Right. I thought it'd be a marvellous thing to do a Grumbleweeds radio play.
What a double fab idea it happens.
Now, I've been looking up King Arthur and the Knights of the Round Table.
Oh, how are they keeping these days?
No. I looked them up in the library.
Oh, is that where they're living?
And I found out that they were all northern.
Oh. Here, this sounds all absolutely wonderful. But if we're going to do a classic play, shouldn't we have a big star who the audience will recognise, you know, like a personality off the television or something?
All the fun of the rubbish as it happens, dear Lord. Huh? God bless my soul. I mean, what do you think Mr. Hines is?
I'll answer that in two words.
No, you don't understand. What I meant was a lady guest, you know. A big lady superstar.
I think that's a great idea, Uncle Rubbish. Any suggestions?
Well, it's funny you should mention that, Mr. Hines, because you see, like I've heard a whisper, you see. Like whisper, whisper. That Uncle Rubbish has invited, like a big double knockout lady personality, to come on the show.
Absolutely true, Jimbo. You've seen her on television, you've seen her on stage, and you've seen her in films.
Fabulous, fabulous, fabulous. And who is she?
Gladys Piggins.
Gladys Piggins? She works in Flaming Butchers.
And you've seen her in the Butchers as well.
You are a stupid 18-carat cretin.
Thank you.
Look, fellas, don't worry about this lady guest star. Just leave it to Uncle Fraser. Because I have obtained, at enormous expense...
He's given it a fiver.
I have obtained the services of an actress whose name is a household word.
Disinfectant. It's going to be Nelly Disinfectant.
Shut it, crabhead.
Hey, lads, why didn't you ask me to get you a lady guest? I could have got you anybody, me, you know, Joan Collins. Bo Derek, Jane Fonda, Gemma Craven.
Oh, you're not Gemma Craven, are you?
I know, I'm all these film stars, you know what I mean? Hey, listen, you know that Jane Fonda, don't you? She were at our house last night. Her and Irene go to keep fit classes every Friday.
Goodness gracious. Now, I think we should all shut up and let Uncle Fraser tell us who this double fab lady guest is.
So do I. Yeah, I agree. Yeah. And we'd all shut up. Oh, yeah, definitely, that's what I think. Everybody, shut up. That's a good idea, that. Shut up. And keep quiet as well, yeah. Clear idea, that, Jim. Everybody, shut up. I am done.
What you need, pal, is someone big, strong and domineering to flatten you.
That's funny you should mention that. Because the lady guest I've invited could do just that.
Who is it, Fraser?
Her name's on this visiting card.
I've never heard of her.
You've never heard of Nora Batty?
What a wonderful reception. Believe me, missus, you wouldn't have got much more applause if you'd have been well known. Now, you're not nervous, are you?
Not with you, Baldy.
I like this bird, she's got taste.
And you can shut it, you creepy crawling parasite.
Hey, watch it, pal. I do the insults round here.
Is that why you're wearing that funny mask?
Hold me back, someone. Hold me back.
Oh, shut up, you little worm. Fraser, who are these bunch of fatheads?
Here, we are the lovable grumbleweeds.
Yes, they're the lovable grumbleweeds.
Well, they get right up my nose, baby.
Well, all right, now that we're all nice and friendly, why don't I tell you about the dramatic masterpiece I want us all to do?
Cue music!
Hang on, just hold it, thank you. How many times must I tell you I'm not in it anymore?
Just checking.
Now, I shall play the part of King Arthur of Camelot. Lear Barnsley.
And what part am I playing?
The fair and beautiful Queen Guinevere of Barnsley.
Well, that's the biggest bit of miscasting I've ever seen.
Now, has anybody seen my script?
Has anybody seen my teeth?
Anyway, here's the script, so go away and learn your parts.
Oh, I am excited. Whoever would have believed that I was going to act in a play with the glamorous Mrs. Batty?
Have you seen an optician lately, pal?
If I have any more bother from you, pal, I'll swap your ears over.
Nobody talks to me like that.
Shut it!
Didn't you used to run that charm school down the road?
Look. If we're going to work together, you'd all better do as I say.
Yes, Mrs. Batty.
Right.
Ooh. I do like being dominated.
Now, no jokes about me beautiful looks.
No, Mrs. Batty.
Good. Now, I'm going to sit in this armchair and study my script. Oh!
Oh, what's the matter now?
What the heck have I sat on?
I don't believe it! It's my teeth!
Hi there, and welcome to a special Christmas edition of the early, early midday supper show, What Is Running a Little Bit Late. And as usual, we've got a really action-packed show, really packed with action-packed action. We've got lots of embarrassing surprises for people whose only desire in life is to go on telly and make fools of themselves doing humiliating things because they like playing silly pranks.
I like this lad, he's good, he's got class. If you're all right playing for me, he doesn't embarrass easily.
Anyway, on with the show and our studio guests, the police. Thank you. And now our special guest star, talking to us via the satellite and the radio telephone, live from America, possibly the greatest superstar of them all, Frank Sinatra. Yes, on the other end of this phone is old Blue Eyes himself.
Hello, Frank. Listen, it's really fantastic of you to spare the time to join us on the show. I know you've got a busy work schedule, but everybody over here in Great Britain wants you to know that the place you hold in their hearts is still as high as ever. It's been reported recently in the popular press that you're planning to retire, but I've heard from a little dicky bird that before you retire, you're going to come over here and tour our country, visiting every major city. Frank, is that true? I'm sorry about this, ladies and gentlemen. We're having our fair share of problems here, but what does it matter so long as it's live? Anyway, on with the show, and it's time to a telephone a lucky viewer who's been chosen to come on next week's show. Let's just hope they're in. Hope we don't get the wrong number. There we go. This is really going to surprise somebody. Somebody's going to be really worried at the other end of the phone. Hello? Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Oh, hello. Tell me, what is your name?
Hello?
Hello, can you hear me?
Hello, can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear.
I can hear you now. Have the mouthpiece to my ear again.
Well, I'm glad we're through to you at last.
Yeah, anyway, are my Auntie Gladys's teeth ready yet, please? I brought them in last Wednesday to be sharpened, ready for Christmas. And you said they'd be ready today. Only she's waiting to have a dinner.
There must be some mistake. This is a Noel on the early midday supper show that's running a little bit late. And I'm sorry, but I haven't got your auntie's teeth.
Have you lost them?
I've never had them.
They're a bit stained. And the bottom plate's cracked.
Charming.
And there's two holes where the dog got hold of them when they fell out on the birthday.
Do they usually fall out?
Every time she bends over to do her bootlaces up.
Oh, this is stupid.
Same thing happened last year. She didn't have any teeth last Christmas, but Uncle Harry helped out.
Oh, you mean he lent her a pair of his teeth?
No. He chewed all the food for her before she ate it.
Well, it looks as though we'll have to do the same this year.
He can't. He's not with us now.
Oh, I'm very sorry to hear that.
Yeah, he's round at the pub.
Look, I'll tell you what. Ask Auntie Gladys if she'd like to come on next week's show.
She won't do anything without her teeth.
Look, we're going to send her up with a skydiving instructor.
She's been sucking a turkey wing for 3 hours now. He says the lips are getting sore.
We're going to send them up in a helicopter, and then they'll jump out over your house and land in the garden.
Wouldn't it be easier to post them?
It's her we're going to send up in a helicopter, not her teeth. Her.
Ah, well, in that case, you'll need a wooden leg.
What wooden leg?
Don't you remember? I brought it into you when I brought the teeth in. It's got to be re-varnished. Have you done it yet?
Ladies and gentlemen, the Grumbleweeds Drama Repertory Company bring you a tale of love, a tale of adventure, a tale of passion, and a tale of painful, heart-rending emotion.
Hold it, fellas, please.
King Arthur and the Knights of the Round Table.
Thank you.
Once upon a time, in bygone days, long, long ago, back in the past, during the days of yesteryear, long, long ago, in bygone days, back in the past.
Get on with it, you miserable tick.
In days of old, when knights were bold, and sausages had no skins, they threw their rubbish in the streets, because they hadn't invented bins. I'm only joking. Come with us now to the home of Mr. and Mrs. King Arthur at Camelot, near Barnsley, where Arthur has returned to his beloved Queen Guinevere.
Up and city, lass, I'm back home again.
It's about time and all. You said you were only going out to take your whippet for a walk.
When was that, love?
7 years ago.
But lass, I've been to Crusades.
I'll stop you going to that pub.
I only had a quick half a bitter.
A quick half? It's taken you 7 years to drink it.
No, it didn't. Rest it time, I throw it arrows.
You think more of that dartboard than you do of me. 7 years you've been away.
Well, I couldn't get a double one.
It's not right that a young ravishing beauty should be left on her own.
Who's that, love?
Clubhead. I can't help being a seductive temptress, can I?
If you say so, love. Here, old lass, get kettle on. I brought some of my mates back for a supper. They're nice at round table. Come in, lads. I'd like to meet Mrs. Queen Guinevere.
Dyek. They look a right lot of pathetic prawns.
Thank you. Yes, we are.
Come on, lads, introduce yourselves.
I am Sir Rubbish, Knight of the Round Table.
I am Sir Pillock, Knight of the Snooker Table. What are you laughing at? Botany. I didn't choose rotten name.
I'm Circumference. Knight at Dinner Table.
And I'm Sir Jesse, Knight of the Dressing Table.
Ooh, oh, smack me old legs at playtime.
I am Sir Gasmas. Yeah, I am. And I've been Sir Gasmas ever since I was knighted.
You should have been neutered.
And I am Sir Fred Fibber. And I'm best night at luck, because tech this morning, I killed 17 dragons before breakfast with a knitting needle riding on an hamster.
I am Sir Toothless, Knight of the Kitchen Table.
And I'm Sir Cluffy, Knight of the Football League Table. You see, and you thought I hadn't got a sense of humour.
And I am, you see, Sir Jimmy the Gaffer, Knight of the Turntable. Dearly Lord, little joke there, you see.
Now, lass, what do you think of them?
Rubbish!
Isn't she lovely?
Anyway, why have you brought them here?
We're off on another crusade.
Arthur Perkins, you promised me you'd whitewash that back kitchen.
I can't, love. Tinfidels are attacking Bradford. We've got to stop them.
Hey, we could pour boiling hot curry all over them.
Nay, last time we did that, they ate it.
Boiling oil's no good either. They only use it to make chips.
It's up to us, lads, to help Bradford in its hour of need. They need us as never before. They need our courage, our fighting spirit, our will to win. Victory can be ours. This is our destiny. And history will record our bravery and gallantry on the field of battle. Let us go forward with noble pride. Let us go forward with noble dignity. And let us go swiftly and crush this deadly enemy.
Let's not bother, we might get hurt.
Follow me, men, to Bradford.
What about whitewashing that back kitchen?
Well, lass, that's not fit work for us gallant knights.
Yeah, we only do night work. That is a joke.
I'll run that rotten gas mask inside your helmet and shut lid in a minute.
Isn't he lovely?
You're bone idle, the lot of you. You should all be melted down and recycled.
Isn't she lovely? She reminds me of a pin-up I cut out of a magazine during the war.
What was it, a Wellington bomber?
I'm fed up being taken for granted. I just wish a tall, dark stranger would carry me up on his horse.
I'll have a word with Coleman.
When's the last time you took me out?
Well, love, you could come with us to Bradford.
Yeah, we could use her as a battering ram.
I suppose I could always look round shops while you were fighting.
I'd buy yourself a new dress.
Could you make tents in Bradford? I did another joke.
All right, then, you can take me with you. I'll go shopping while you're fighting.
Right, let's go, lads.
You do realise what these infidels are like, don't you? According to Mrs. Dripstone next door, they're right barbarians.
Yeah, don't bother us. We're brave.
If they capture you, they'll split your gizzards.
I tell you, we're brave.
Then they chop you up in little pieces and feed you to crows. Here, what are you doing over there, Arthur? Looking for your sword?
No, I'm looking for my whitewash brush. You're right. That back kitchen does need doing. You've been listening to Grumbleweed's Christmas Party.
Starring the Grumbleweed and their special guests,
Fraser Hines
and Kathy Staff. Stuart Hall did not appear this year.
The show is written by Mike Craig and Ron McDonald,
with additional material by Barry Faulkner, and produced in Manchester
by Mike Craig.
Yes, this has been a Mikey Poo's production. He does ever such nice productions, but he makes much nicer blancmange.